According to the incredibly stratified rankings in the world of chess, experts should never win against international masters. International masters should almost never win against grandmasters. And computers were never supposed to win against the best player in the world. At least that's how it was until 1997, when IBM's Deep Blue beat then world champion Garry Kasparov in six games. But that match was far from the end of the rivalry between humans and chess-playing computers. Chess master Dana McKenzie tells us that story in his own words.
You know, I remember when the first chess calculators came out in the late 1970s, and they were absolutely pathetic. Beginning humans make mistakes, but somehow the computer mistakes were different. You know, they were just really awful. But, you know, computers and calculators got better and better. Nowadays, computers are so strong that even a guy like Magnus Carlsen, the world champion, would have no hope against a computer. Once computers got past the point of being laughingstocks and started becoming serious masters, then there was this whole debate, you know, can a computer ever beat a human? The human world champion, Garry Kasparov, said, no, it'll never happen because humans have this element of creativity in their play, and a computer can never be creative. You know, there's been this whole mythology of the grandmaster. They're like the Picassos, the Van Goghs of chess. And now, in retrospect, we can see that, yes, computers can play these sorts of moves. They look at every possible move, and eventually, at some point, that brute force calculation strength starts turning into something that looks like human creativity. So back in the early 2000s, I got one of the top computer programs. It was called Fritz. There's this one particular opening that I got interested in where White sacrifices a queen on the sixth move of the game. Queen sacrifices are the pinnacle in chess. They're the most spectacular move possible, and they're considered the most beautiful move possible. What I was doing by looking at this queen sacrifice variation was really pursuing the most beautiful possible opening line I could and trying to work out its beauty. And the faith, my faith that the move worked, was a faith in beauty itself. The compensation I get for sacrificing the queen is this incredible sense of harmony and communication between my pieces, and that goes and goes and goes, and it lasts for 20 moves or 30 moves, even though a computer can calculate 5-10 moves ahead, can calculate farther than any human. It goes way beyond the computer's threshold, and every game would be different, and yet every game also was reinforcing the belief in me that, yes, this opening works. The computer doesn't feel fear, and that is what leads it to take my queen every time. So for 2 years, I had not run into any human opponent who had the courage to actually take my queen. In this tournament in 2006 in Reno, in the last round, I played against an international master named David Preuss. He knows that he should not lose to me, and so he has this psychology that this crazy opening that I'm playing can't possibly be sound. Even if it looks scary, he's an international master, and he will show me where my thinking is wrong. And so this was the perfect person for me to play the sacrifice against. I was, in effect, the grandmaster. He didn't stand a chance against me. He kept posing little tricks and traps to me. He did not go down easily, but, you know, I did not want to screw up at that point, you know, because I knew this was my masterpiece. What happened after was truly wonderful. At chess tournaments, there's something called a skittles room to go over the game with your opponent, you know, to prove to him that you could have checkmated him, you know, five moves before he checkmated you. So an hour after the game, I go into the Skittles room and I see this huge group of people and they're going over my game. Like, I couldn't believe it. These are like all the grandmasters at the tournament and the international masters, and Dave Proust was there, and you know, everybody's trying to prove to him what an idiot he was. But you know, he's saying, no, what would you do? You know, what did I do wrong? I still can't prove that this opening I played is sound. You can't prove it's unsound. And the computer can contribute to the conversation, but it doesn't resolve it either. The computer is not the enemy. It's not the adversary like Kasparov thought. Instead, it's a partner. Combining the computer with the humans, you can actually create something greater than either one of them can do on their own.
Chess master Dana McKenzie is still trying to use his queen sacrifice whenever it's appropriate. This segment was produced by Only a Game's Karen Given. If you'd like to look us up on your computer, whether or not it plays chess, follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Only a Game NPR.